Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends.
Your friends.
We're your neighbors.
We're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand.
Lifting hands.
And God's favor.
God's favor.
We're your friends.
Your friends.
We're your neighbors.
We're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a
hand.
Remembering God's favor.
Remembering God's favor.
You know, it seems like we've all been conditioned by calendars and dates.
I want you to hear what I'm saying.
But there's no time,
no,
like the present,
no time
to give love,
to give love,
and not hate.
Just give love.
And if we could just.
Greetings and welcome once again to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shai Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. Thank you, our brothers, sisters, families, and friends for joining us this morning as we bring to you another beautiful discussion, an on-time and needed discussion this morning. So we want to thank you for joining us this morning as we bring to you a wonderful talk again. And the guests to join us in this beautiful discussion. We also want you to join us. We want to hear from you. So if there's anyone in the radio listening audience who would love to participate at any time during the show, just push the number one button. Push number one on your phone. Your number will show up in the studio, in our studio here. And we will be glad to have you join us. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what your thoughts, your comments, what you have to say. Give us some feedback and let's keep the show going and moving. It's for you, people. For you, for us, and for the time we're living in. It's your concerns and our thoughts of how we think these circumstances that we're living in now can be improved. Upon life can be improved upon, and things can get back into the normal way of existing because they're totally abnormal now. All right, we're going to the discussion, as I said earlier, is all human misunderstanding can be reconciled by good communication. And yes, you are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shaheed Shabazz. So, good morning, good morning. Good communication comes from love and respect. And love and respect comes from God consciousness. This is why Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, says in his final revelation, the Holy Quran, that he created us human beings that we might get to know one another and not that we might hate and despise each other. The purpose of this is to bring to the world the authentic teachings of Islam. So we must present Islam as Islam was revealed to Prophet Muhammad over 1,800 years ago and without sugarcoating Islam. We must allow Islam to stand on its own merits. There is only one Islam. And only one example of how Islam is to be lived, and that is the life example of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And as you can see, we have a good discussion going here. So if you want to join us, hit the number one button and let's get going. We'd love to hear from you. Now I will give to you Imam Shaheed Shabazz. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How's everybody? I pray that you're doing fine. Excuse me, I'm a little hoarse today, but we want to first of all thank Allah, the creator, the cherisher and sustainer of all systems of knowledge and all worlds. See, most people think that the world that they're looking at is the only world, but there's the world of the ants, the bees, the world of all kinds of animals. There's all systems of knowledge that seen and unseen that we as human beings have no knowledge of. Allah, the creator, our creator, I want to say in the beginning, he's above all comprehension. Yet Allah, the creator, is well acquainted with all things seen and unseen. With that said, we greet you in the greetings of peace. You cannot be greeted any better than the greetings of peace. That's what we need in the world, in our life, first of all, and then in the world. We need peace with our creator, and then we can have peace with each other. And that's how we can learn to begin to communicate the right way. So we greet you with that peace. And that peace is said in the Arabic, Quranic language, Allah revealed to his prophet Muhammad, prayer and peace be upon him, assalamu alaikum. With that said, we will open up with the opening chapter or surah, we say in Arabic, of the Quran. And it's called Al-Fatiha, or the opening. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawm Ad-Din. Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. اهدنا صراط مستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. We said, translated into English, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the guardian, the evolver, the cherisher and sustainer of all worlds. Most gracious, the most merciful, the master and ruler of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship and thine aid. We seek Allah only, because no one else can help us. Show us, Allah, the straight way, the way of those on whom you, Allah, is guiding, and not of those who are misguided, who go astray by their own will from your straight way. I mean, yeah. So with that said, as the sister was saying, the problem in the world with people doing all of these suicide killings and just going in places, killing up people, and that, ever since 9/11, that have never stopped. It's been like a snowball effect. People are copycat killings. Going in schools, killing up children, going in places, and all around the world, they've been killing up each other in the Muslim world first, and then all around the world, especially in the Muslim world, and the Jews, and the Europeans. Those are the main three groups. They're supposed to represent the three major religions in the world, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. But the majority are Muslims, so-called Muslims, so-called Christian and Jews, they are not doing their job. I'm going to lay it on you, inshallah, be the will of Allah. That's what it means today, because you need it laid on you. You're laying back. You're doing nothing to try to stop evil. But you say you believe in our creator, and the creator created you. What did he create us for? He created us to be his representatives, like the government got represented. Well, Allah, he's the governor of the heavens and the earth, and I'm one of his representatives. The sister on the show is a representative of the creator of the heavens and earth. So how can we represent, excuse me, how can we represent our creator if we are manifesting evil and wickedness in our conduct? Huh? He is all good. Allah is all good. His government is not like a human government. His government is spiritual and moral government. So in order to govern your life as a human being, you must have self-discipline, and good morality. And you must always strive for perfection through moral excellence. Striving for moral excellence. You know, you got people out here striving for money, striving. Even myself, I'm human, we all are victims of this. We strive for, I want a wife, I want a husband, I want some money, I want some children, I want this, I want that. People are striving for everything that the Creator created, but they have forgot the Creator. And as a result, he allowed them to get these things. But these things are not satisfying the people, because if the people of the world were satisfied, the majority of them, they wouldn't be killing up each other. They wouldn't be hating on each other and backbiting and slandering each other like they're doing. Beginning with the Muslims, who are supposed to represent the best of all people, following the sunnah or the example of Muhammad, Mustafa, Ibn Abdullah, prayers and peace be upon him, 1,400 years ago, the last and final prophet of Allah that he sent to all mankind with his final revelation, which confirms all of his revelation from the book of Adam, the first prophet, all the way down to the last prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon all of them great souls who came and sacrificed their life, Allah, and like me, I'm following in their footsteps, sacrifice our life just for the good of mankind, to bring good to the people, and the people persecute them and kill them and kill us for trying to bring them good. This is an evil world of people today, more evil than ever in history, because all the evil in every generation is here today. Why? Because Allah is getting ready to destroy and rid his whole earth and world here of all evil. So if you're evil and you got them evil intentions in your heart, and you think that you don't, you say, I believe in God, but your actions say, I will do what I want to do. I follow what I want to follow that my Creator say, as people in the English language, this English language say, God, I follow what God say some, but I can't follow all of it. And I said many years ago, and it still stands true today, most people do not want to give their life completely to the supreme creator of the heavens and the earth, the unseen creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah, simply because they don't believe they're going to get no satisfaction out of just giving my whole life to God or some creator I can't see no way. And I'm looking at all of this stuff here. I'm looking at that pretty man and that fine woman and I'm all of this gold and diamonds and all of this stuff. I got me those expensive cars, a Lexus, a Mercedes. I got five of them. I got me four. I got three homes. I got 500 acres of land. Allah, the Creator, say in his final revelations in the Quran, it is not our material wealth or our children or for people who respect us or follow us that's going to bring us closer to him, his spirituality, unseen. He says only our faith, sincere faith in him, and good deeds, righteous deeds, people. So something here I want to share with you. I'm going to try to cover a lot today, inshallah, but I'm going to try to cover what you really need. And the problem with the world today, it ain't no one person. People want to try to blame the President Donald Trump. Well, I'm here to tell you today, I'm going to burst your bubble, a lot of you probably. He's not your problem. Your problem is you. Everybody's problem is themselves, okay? Almighty Allah say in his final revelations in the Quran that all the good that happens to people come from Allah, the Creator. And he say all the bad that happens to people, us as human beings, come from our own self will, doing what we want to do. I said years ago, most people they living like Burger King slogan, have it your way. Well, you people, you can't have it your way. Because your way, our way, is the wrong way. Allah just said that over and over again. Read the Quran. He said all the bad happens to us come from our own will. A lot of people want to blame Satan, or the one they call the devil. Allah don't blame him for your wrong. Only thing he can do is just suggest to you to do wrong. But who makes the choice? We do. So just like you choose to do wrong, you can choose to do right. But most people think if you choose to do right, your life's going to be boring. Oh, I ain't going to have no good time. I ain't going to be able to freak out like I want to freak. You got so many people in religion today that's committing heinous crimes, abominable crimes, and saying that Allah or the Creator or God say it's all right, like oral sex. Anal sex with people, men and women, molesting children. And you're gonna tell me that this world ain't near its destruction of evil? Yes, it is. And you can see the signs. And this is one thing that Allah revealed to me to share with you all today also. To be absent in the body is to be in the presence of Allah, of the Lord. What do I mean? If you say you serve a creator, then there is no more you or your way. It's only his will manifesting in your life. So you got to die, be absent of yourself, or what I want, so you can accept his will, Allah's will. And you'll be in his presence while you're on earth. You still will be in heaven. You can have heaven right here on earth. But you got to die, to your own ways, your own will, so that you may live in the will of the life giver, Allah, the creator of our life and death. He's the only one that creates life and death. So something else I want to share, and then I'll give away to the co-host to bring on anybody or give comments if she has some herself. This is a saying of the whole world's last prophet, Muhammad. He's the prophet sent by Allah for the whole world, whether you accept him or not. Because you will in time. Prophet Muhammad said, the faith of a servant of the Creator, Allah, is not put right until their heart is put right. And he said, And their heart is not put right, until their tongue is put right. This is powerful. Prophet Muhammad said this right here is the purification of faith, conditional on the purification of the heart. So what he's saying is that you can't have the true faith in the Creator until your heart is purified. And he say, the purification of the heart is conditional on the purification of your tongue, meaning that you can't go around lying on people, backbiting people, slandering people, and say, oh, I got a good heart. I know my heart is good. Well, if you're, I'm going to share this and I'm through for now. Allah says this right here. He says to every human being that he created, he said, if you guarantee him two things, he'll guarantee he'll give you heaven here and eternal, his eternal heaven after you die. Guarantee him you will control your tongue. Control what you say and control how you use your private parts. Huh? Practice self-restraint, abstinence from, lewd sex. Just having sex because my career, I can do it because my Creator, he don't punish me every time. I do wrong. See, we got a merciful Creator. And most people think because they don't get punished for every wrong they do, that they get in the way. Well, you're sadly mistaken. You're very ignorant. Everything you do or say is being recorded. And I'm not through yet. Not yet. We will share this with you. This is the same hadith. Prophet Muhammad said, a man or woman, through their actions and words, sows the seed of either good or evil. He said, on the day of resurrection and judgment, the people harvest, man or woman, their harvest, their fruits of their works. Those who sowed the seeds of good works and good deeds, he say, their harvest will be honor and respect and blessings with Allah in his heaven. And he said, those who sowed the seeds with their tongue of evil words and evil deeds will reap only regret and remorse. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, thank you. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabab, the reality of the creator. And thank you for joining us this morning. We will be calling on our guests for comments. If they have any questions, we want to hear from you and want your feedback. And today's discussion, as you can see, is strong, very strong. In fact, every Sunday, Imam Shahid Shabazz brings us a beautiful message, beautiful discussion on what's going on today in our life and how we should be living in, why things are as they are today. He's really been blessed to really bring it to us and give us a lot to think about. Very thought-provoking messages that he brings to us. So we want to really take his messages seriously as they are serious. And the discussion today is, all human misunderstandings can be reconciled by good communication. Now, listen to the good communication. What do we mean by that? Good communication. We say that paradise begins where? At the foot of a mother. Paradise begins at the foot of a mother. It is the mother who has the most important job on earth, the female, because she's the one who raises society. She's the one who raises that man to be a man, that woman to be a woman. And it's according to how she raised them as to how they're going to grow, huh? What you feed them, how you nourish them. That's how they're going to grow, right? So, but if you allow them, you don't give them the attention they need. You don't the nourishment that they need, food that they need to grow on. Well, you can't expect them to grow up right, can you? They might grow quicker, deformed, and wild, you know, all over the place. And this is what we see in the reality. They say there are signs in the earth to guide us. So this is what we see in the reality of what's going on today. The mother has neglected her duty. Why has she neglected it? Because she has to be taught. So it goes way back to the mother getting the food that she needs, the nourishment that she needs, being taught what she needs to be taught so that she can teach the children, her children. And if this has gone on from generation to generation without the mother having received what is necessary for her to give to her children, to bring them up right so that they can be the best of themselves on earth, they can produce the best of themselves on earth, then you're going to have just the opposite of right there. You're going to have conduct that are not good, that are not pleasing, that are not helpful for human beings. And this is what we see today. So, people, we have to understand. I remember also the President Clinton, and I was thinking at the same time as you brought it out that the parents need to be also taught. They need to be taught again. He said we need to have classes for the parents to teach them how to be parents, how to raise the children. And that is so true. That's the reality. We need to go back to what? Moral teaching. We are taught in Islam to strive for moral excellence. So we need to go back to moral teaching. Our most important presentation is good conduct, people. This is what's missing. Our parents, when we came along, what did they used to emphasize? I knew during my time. I'm pretty old now, so this has been years ago. but it should not have been, it hasn't been that long, according to life on Earth. But it's been a while. But I remember when we were growing up, it was very important how you represented yourself in public. If we did anything wrong to misrepresent the family, oh, we were in trouble. So we had to go out with our best conduct, our best action, being good. Nobody better come and say, Miss So-and-so, we saw your daughter, we saw your son out here doing this, that, or the other. No, that was it for you. We don't have that anymore, people. We had to go where our parents went a lot. We had to go to a church to get some type of upright teaching and more bringing. We had to go there on Sunday. But we don't have to do anything on Sunday now. The children are allowed to raise their parents, it seems like. Everybody wants to go listen to the latest music, wear the latest fashion, go to the latest dance, whatever's going on out here of the socializing, sports and play. This is what people are concerned about. So they say, what you do most, that becomes your God. That is what you make your God. So we are making what? We are making the social conduct in this life, in this world, our God. We're making a God out of it. The fashions, materialism, money, things like this. This is what we're concerned about, not about our life, not about how we present ourselves to each other, not about how we treat one another, think of one another. We don't even think of one another anymore. We pass our neighbor. We don't know how to speak. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I seem to be taking over for a minute, please forgive me. I didn't mean to get along with it. I can get along with it sometimes, but I did learn that from the Shabazz. He taught me how to speak well. Now I'm going to really check here now and see if there is anyone who would love to comment at this time. I see a number of 404-247-4713. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Kareem Shabazz. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. What I had to say was that I wanted to talk about some specific things that can be done as we speak. Without participation in the electoral process of this country, nothing can change. We have a law here in Georgia that says that 16-year-old girls have control of their own body and they can have sex whenever they want. I don't know any 16-year-old girl that has the intelligence, the knowledge, the moral character, and the understanding of the method of procreation of life that and is responsible enough to control the aftermath of having sex. But if we're not participating in the electoral process and the political process here in this country, then we can't impact that. And if I'm wrong, please tell me how we can impact a specific law like this without being a participant in the political process so that we can repeal the law. Thank you.
I'll
wait for your answer.
Yeah, I'm inshallah, we will, by the grace and mercy of Allah, give you an answer to what you said, but we'll do it patiently, not hastily. First of all, we have to learn from history. Nothing new is happening today that always happened since the beginning of time. And the same solutions that they had during the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad, Prophet Esau, Jesus, they say in English, Moses, Musa, Abraham, peace be upon all of those great prophets, is the same solution today. Now, I agree with you on the electoral process because the law controls everything. What about the law they passed for, and this one, President Obama was in office, they passed a law for same-sex marriage. You think that's lawful under the law of the Creator? First of all, like the co-host said, I'm 60-something and she's 70-something. And when we were coming along as children, it was segregation. So we were being called niggers. Black people were being called niggers, coons, apes, and all this kind of stuff. Why am I saying this? It's very necessary. We was taught that in order, and Martin Luther King Jr., I want to bring him in too, because he was one of the biggest ones participating in the electoral process and fighting and getting beat up and thrown in jail and ultimately assassinated because this man was trying to get African-American people in particular because we didn't have no rights. We're human beings, but they didn't want to even give us civil rights. What are civil rights? A civilian. They didn't want to even respect black people, our so-called white leadership, which we still have today. They didn't really want to respect us as people, a human being. So we had to fight and go to war, our African-American men during the Civil War. They the ones that being responsible for the Caucasians winning the Civil War so we could be considered a civilian. But I don't want to be just considered a civilian. I want to be considered a human being. Allah said he created human beings equal. So in order to change the political process, first of all, you got to have the political process is actually ran by dollar bills, material money. So first of all, for the laws to be changed, you're right. We got to participate in that. But before you're going to be, why we ain't doing it? The reason we're not doing it is because we're not participating in what the sister said earlier, the moral process that governs all creation and keeps justice and balance in the world. And that's what? That's the righteousness of our Creator. We must come back to God consciousness, a consciousness of Allah, the Creator. And then once we do that, we can come to unity. And let me say this here. A lot of people voted in the electoral process for President Donald Trump. And then now they want to try to get him out. I'm talking about a lot of white people too. So now the electoral process, I'm going to say this right here too because I want to bring him in here. His name is Al-Haj Malik Shabazz, a.k.a. Malcolm X. He said, whether you participate in the electoral process, whether you vote Republican or Democrat, independent, whatever, he says it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all governed by one law. The biggest thing in politics is law. Law is what determines what's going to happen with everything. It has to pass, go through the law in order to pass bills for this, for that. I tried for disability with an ailment, and I was due to get it, and they used their lawyers, so I couldn't get it. The government worked against me, so, yes, the government is not going to change things until the people come together. We have to have unity, not just black people voting, but everybody voted for Obama. Look how they participated then in the electoral process, and we got changed. We got changed but one thing about us in particular, and this is all part of your answer, as the black people, so-called African-American people, we are afraid to spend money. We don't want to spend money. Like the sister said, we hug our materialism because we were deprived of it so long in slavery that when we got an opportunity to get it, we done made it, most of us done made it our gods, and we don't even want to help each other. But the other people in this country, of all the races, ain't but one human race, but all the races, besides the African-American, they put their money together. It's money that controls that political process you're talking about. So you got to have money to do it. But before you can have the money, and we got the money as black people, African-American, yes, we have, but we don't have unity. So they ain't going to do anything. They're all, you're right, they ain't going to just change on their own. You vote for these people. You expect for them to do the job you put them in office to do. But you got to get them some money in order for them to do that. So we, how did the government during the time of Prophet Moses, we have a government like that now where it thinks it's God. In fact, they say in God we trust on the money. And what face do you see on there? A white face. Well, Pharaoh said he was God. What God is there but me? So Moses, he was raised up in the palace of Pharaoh and trained in the learning. And we was raised up as African-American people here under the so-called white man leadership. We know we should know him better than any people. Or we should know his process or how he treat people more than any people in the world, because he's treated us. We've been treated the worst by the so-called white man in America more than any people in the history of mankind, as far as horrific, horrible slavery that we've been through. So we first got to come back, as the sister said, to moral consciousness. I'm talking about black people right now, so-called African-Americans. And this is how we're going to change things. If the government ain't changing, we got to go turn to who? The one that can make the government change, and that's Allah. And Allah told Moses, say, hey, get my people, and I'm a, and Moses say, I committed a crime, and I fear they may kill me and my brother. Allah said, the Creator said, I got power over all things. Go, I'm going to protect y'all. You're not going to be destroyed by Pharaoh. So they had to take Moses had to go into Egypt and get his people out, because Allah told him to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go free. He said, I ain't going to let them go free. These are my people. Well, America has not allowed the African-Americans, so-called blacks, to be free, and they're not going to give freedom to us. Well, our real freedom ain't just in the political process, because when President Obama was in there, he passed some laws, and I got my disability, and the laws that he passed are still in effect right now. But look what happened. Everybody got together and voted, even African-Americans. So you're right in what you're saying, but also we're right in saying that before you can participate in the political process, you got to participate in the moral process with your Creator. You got to have a good morality. You can't be thinking even doing evil and then think you're going to go to the government and they're going to change things. Only one can make the government change and do things is the Creator. The only reason Obama became president, it wasn't just because of the political process that everybody participated in. It was by divine intervention. Now, that's my answer right there.
Thank you, Rav Shabazz. And, brother, I'd like to add to that, you are right. The 16-year-olds, like you said, they are still children. Because their parents are still children, like I said, they're not being raised. So they know nothing about the value of life, of their body, of themselves. This is our time we're living in, one of more degradation. Everything is immoral, corrupt, and it's leading towards destruction. Self-destruction, which they want us to do. The society today, as you can see, look at what's happening, what's going on. With the president that we have now, he wants everything that will lead towards the destruction of humanity, destruction of mankind. Like, he's trying to bring a certain society in, and they're warned us time and time again. If we don't believe him, we should watch what he's doing. Who on earth has ever thought of a 16-year-old, especially today? Now, many, many years ago, there were 16-year-olds who were as wise and smart and conscious of life and themselves and of good morals and manners as they are adults. But that's not today at all. Like I say, we got to raise adults now, not just raise a 16-year-old, to value life, to value themselves, to realize that they are responsible for what they do. There are consequences of our choices in life, of our conduct in life. And therefore, we definitely should not have any law saying that a 16-year-old is ready to do anything. In fact, we should be very conscious of the laws that we give out for, as I said, for adults to do, especially African-Americans, because we have been ill-taught. We've been taught the wrong lesson, the wrong message. We've been given the wrong way of life to live. The good way, the right way was taken away from us during slavery, our way, our people's way. And now we have a way of life that is self-destructive to us, causes us to destroy ourselves. And yes, we all need to say no, no to the law. Whichever way we can get out and vote against that, we should do that. We're in agreement with you, brother. I don't want to just, for us to just hold the hall for fun to say, I don't like that word either. But I will give someone else a chance now to express themselves. We have a number here that's been on for quite a while. The number is 614-989-7186. Could you give us your name and tell us where you are calling from? Yes, can you hear me? I think they don't hear us. They're off the phone now. I can hear some talking in the background. So we'll get back to them. They still have it on, but they're not near it, obviously. So now we will go back to the brother at this time. If you have any more comments now. That's the
404
number? Yes,
brother
from Georgia.
Here in Atlanta, yes. Yeah, what I wanted to say was that Allah says in the Quran that He's not going to change the condition of a people until they change what's in their hearts. This is something that the Muslims have to do. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you take the Shahadatain, that you make a commitment to change your career. Your career changes from whatever it was before, being a carpenter, a lawyer, a plumber, into being a slave of Allah. That means obeying Allah and understanding what Allah wants you to do, and that you have to do good for people. We live in a society today that is imploding upon itself and destroying itself. And the only salvation of this society that we live in is Islam. But the Muslims need to understand and know that themselves so that they can take the leadership. We live in a society that is built on lies. Our people have been taught a religion called Christianity that lies to them. And the Muslims haven't been able to instruct the people in the right way so that they would get away from this. What I mean to say by this is that the first commandment of the Ten Commandments that were given to, according to the Christian Bible, were given to the Christians, is that they should not make graven image of divine. I'm not completely positive that this Christian religion that people are believing in today so fervently, and since I moved to Atlanta, I had not seen mega churches. They have mega churches in the black community here in Atlanta with thousands and thousands of worshipers that come every Sunday to get rejuvenated and worship a white Jesus. If the slave master was white and he's the one that has treated us like no other slave master has ever done in the past and is still doing, has things in place now where they're still able to subjugate us and make us second-class citizens and keep us in poverty and not give us what we deserve as reparations for all of the free labor that they stole from us. What is the plan that we have to come up with in order to solve this problem? how can we get into the heads of our so-called Christian brothers? And I say so-called because I'm not sure that this Christianity that's being taught in this country is the true Christianity. And that is a whole history by itself and a whole discussion by itself. But the fact of the matter remains is that it is what it is. And we, as the leaders of this society, should take advantage of the times that we live in today and teach people of Allah and not try to put down the Christian religion, but teach them the right way. How do we do this if we don't intermingle with them, if we don't meet with them, if we don't hold sessions that are open to them and invite them to come and participate with us and give them some definite instruction on the history of the religion that we believe in, because we believe in Jesus more than they do. And we know and understand Jesus more than they do. But we're not sharing that information in the level that we should be so that we can change their minds and have them understand Jesus the way we understand Jesus. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was profound, brother, and I agree 100% with everything you said. We the Muslims, it's in the Quran. This is Quran and Sunnah, the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. You know, Allah says that Prophet Muhammad is the best example of human moral behavior. Best in his morals in a time like we're in now, like you said, about the 16-year-old, I also understand that in Atlanta, the gay population is greater than anywhere else in this country. But the point that I'm making is that there is no morals. There used to be a movie come on, I don't know if you remember it, but it was called The Wild Wild West. And we used to watch it all the time as a child, and it was entertaining. And what the Wild Wild West mean? It means there is nothing to check the people's conduct. Just do what you want to do until the law catch you. And there's a slogan I got out of a place. I stay in Kernersville, North Carolina, and I went to this paper writing, this company that writes print paper. And they had a sign up on the wall, these Caucasians say, "Don't steal the government hate competition." Now, check that out. Don't steal the government hates competition. I mean, you know, this is true. And what you said was very profound. I was listening at you like you, the host of the show, because so what you were saying is so profound, and you're absolutely right. Let me share this with you, and this is all I have to say at this time. And I enjoyed what you said thoroughly, and I know if the people got any sincerity in their heart, they got a beautiful message from you that will help free them, especially African Americans, from this slave mentality. excuse me. You know, first, before a person or people can be free, like you said, Allah said he never changes the condition of people until they first change the condition of their heart. And we as a people, we've been through the worstest condition, as you said, of slavery of any people in history. All the scholars in the world will agree with this. They can't disagree because it's factual, because history rewards all research and history don't lie. So this is true. But like you said, this is what I was going to say. Allah said, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a shaheed, that's my name, the witness. That's one of Allah's name, the witness. Prophet Muhammad is a witness for the Muslims of how the world we're supposed to be living as human beings, moral, upright human beings. And he said the Muslims are supposed to be witnesses for the world, for mankind, for humanity. And like you said, the Muslims are not on their job. Now, I want to mention this briefly. The Muslims that got killed over in New Zealand by this racist, Aryan, so-called white, went in one mosque, a masjid, and killed 50 Muslims, went in the other masjid and killed, wounded a lot of Muslims. Now, if the Muslims were doing like Prophet Muhammad and his followers were doing during the lifetime of his generation, they need to go back and study and be sincere. They were out doing da'wah. Prophet Muhammad was intermingling with Christians, and he was a merchant. He was intermingling with Jews, like you said. We used to have interfaith with Christians when a man by the name of Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, may Allah forgive him of his sins and grant him paradise for the great job he did in trying to bring what you said, all the religions together and show that we have one creator and that he sent one truth here to unite us all. But that truth has been changed in all other religions except Islam. He revealed the Quran in a language, the Arabic of the Quran, just the Quran, not the language of Arabic in general. The message of truth in the Quran has been protected by Allah. You can't change it. You can translate it in any language other than Arabic, but it remains the same. What Allah said, if you say don't do that, he means don't do that in Spanish, in Chinese, Japanese language, whatever language you believe in, you speak. The Quran is saying the same thing to you that it's saying to us here in America who speak English. And, you know, so what you said was so very necessary for this program today, because I wanted to hear you again, because and you're doing a wonderful job. I hope you'll continue to join us, because this is like this co-host always say, this is not our program, me and her. This is the Muslim program, so we can reach out, like you say, to the Christians. I myself personally, brother, I've stayed in Atlanta. I've stayed from Buffalo, New York, all the way back to Miami. And as you say, over the last 40, going on 45 years this year, I've been a practicing Muslim in this country. And the Muslims have regressed. Back, they talk about this man, Elijah Muhammad, and try to put him down, most Muslims. And they are wrong because, first of all, they ain't supposed to judge. But you've seen what you said, participation in the political process, you've seen unity among black people that you never seen since he passed away, and they, under the leadership of a man called Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, you've seen this man unify Christian, Muslim, and Jews all over the world. He traveled all over the world, all over this country and the world, and he was the first Muslim leader, not from over in the East, to to give the prayer, the invocation, the prayer in the Senate, before the Senate meeting started in the White House up there in Washington, D.C. So we need to study history, and like you say, as Muslims, stop talking Islam and stop living by the concepts of the Quran. Don't just read the Quran and quote it in the Arabic language and think and go through the rituals of Islam. But if you follow what the rituals mean, you would do everything you said. You would be out there. I go out in the street. I still do da'wah today in the street here in North Carolina. I've worked in about 30 cities over the last 45 years doing da'wah, just like Prophet Muhammad and them did da'wah. And I wouldn't even be in Islam if it wasn't for the Nation of Islam, because them brothers in the Nation, when it was called the Nation of Islam, they was out in the street. I met one brother yesterday when I was out. It was such a beautiful day. Him and his wife was out in the black community telling them to do what we are saying, participate in the political process. But we were doing what? They were giving them knowledge. One Muslim was out feeding the people our pizza, and I was out, me and another Muslim sister, teaching the people Islam. And the Islamic Foundations of North Carolina give me boxes of Qurans and other Islamic literature to just give them to the people, the Christians and non-Muslims, because they really want to know about Islam now, especially after they killed so many Muslims, just went in there just blatantly and killed those Muslims like that in New Zealand. So I hope I didn't go talk too much, but I hope what I said was informative, as well as what you said, brother, was very informative, and we appreciate Allah blessing you to come on and join us today. That what you said was very profound and very necessary for us if we're going to move forward. We got to follow what me and you both and the sisters talking about. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, my friend. Thank you, Ma'am Shahid Shabazz. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. And as you can see, we have another heavy, strong discussion with a beautiful guest from Atlanta, Georgia today. He's bringing in a lot of thoughtful food here. As he was mentioning, the Muslims not being on their jobs. Yes, they're not on their job because they're too busy trying to prove to society they can be bad or worse than society is. They're trying to do like the people are doing out there. As you can see, there's a reverse in what they're doing. The way they dress, the way they conduct themselves, and so they're trying to compete against the Christians, the people in society, instead of reaching the society. And
that's
helping
right.
them to change by presenting to them the best way, the best conduct through its acceptance of Islam. So this is one problem we really have. They seem to have gotten the misunderstanding, be confused somewhere. Then we talked about, this really reminded me of me, and one reason why I came into Islam, I accepted Islam, was Jesus, yes. I remember I was in a religion, African-American Episcopal Church is where I met. And at that time, they let us know that Jesus was not God and that Jesus did not say that he was God and we would be punished for associating him as being God. We were taught that. And we were taught that Jesus came to teach us who God was, to turn us towards God, the true creator, our true creator. And so I always wondered why it was that the people were called, especially in other religions, the Baptists and all, they kept talking about Jesus, praising him as God. We were actually taught against that. And so I was wondering, I said, well, I don't know why they won't go on and listen to Jesus. They say they're Christians. They say they're following. Why don't they listen to him and not call him a God? Because he said he was going to come back to he will not be accused of that, which blamed for that which they accused him. But he's going to come back and clear himself of that which they accused him. Now, I had to try to get together in my head, yes. You know. So he was saying that he was going to come back and clear himself of that which they accused him. But they kept saying this. I said, well, don't they understand what Jesus is saying? He's not coming back to save them. He's teaching them who God is. This is what the understanding I had before I came into Islam. So I said, that's all right. I was teaching Sunday school at the time in the church. I said, I'm going to just go on and tell the people and do like Jesus said, you know. So I heard about
Can
Islam
I make a statement?
In the meantime. And so doing, I...
Your brother want to make a statement, sister.
Yes, one moment, please, but can I continue with this? So therefore, this is why I changed. I want to say that, brother, because you are so right. The Muslims are representing Jesus more so than the Christians are, because the Christians have been lied to, and they choose to continue to accept that lie about Jesus. And we have to come down to, again, nation building. Before we can help anyone else, we must help ourselves, because we have to realize we are the chosen people. We are the chosen ones. And until the Muslims get on their job and do what they're supposed to do, and the African-Americans realize that we are the chosen people who are to turn this world back around to the right way, we won't see any real changes. And now, yes, Imam Shabazz, thank you for back to you now.
No, back to the brother. He said he had something that he wanted to say. If I recollect, if I could hear, I can hear pretty good. All praise is due to Allah. Do you have anything else to say, my beloved brother from Atlanta?
Yes, thank you very much, Imam. When I first came to Atlanta in 2011, I was very interested in working with the community here to make the necessary changes that we could make to help to diminish the evil and wickedness that is inherent in our society today. And I found out that Imam Waliq Uddin Muhammad had left the blueprint for political involvement of the Muslims here in America. He had left, before he passed, a blueprint called the American Coalition for Good Government.
That's right.
And so I asked, and I went to the Waliq Uddin Muhammad Masjid, the Atlanta Masjid, and inquired about this. And they told me that they had meetings periodically. So I said, when is the next meeting? And they told me that they were going to organize a meeting and let me know. So they did organize a meeting and they let me know. I was surprised that they had to organize a special meeting because it wasn't an ongoing effort that they were engaged in to bring about the vision of Imam Waliq Uddin Muhammad for the political process here in America to change.
That's correct.
And I'm very disappointed with that because you said that, as it relates to the answer to my first question, that we need to have moral unity in order for us to be able to make the necessary political changes. I had a blueprint. I presented a blueprint of my own to them, but they weren't interested in it. And they apparently were not interested in doing the American Coalition for Good Government either. And I'm glad hear you, ma'am, that you know about this.
What can you
tell me about this that causes them not to follow the directions of their leader, Imam Waliq Uddin Muhammad?
Okay. You want me to respond now?
Yes, please.
Okay, that was very, very good. That was very good. That was one of the most profound things asked or talked about on this program. Because, as the sister and you said, the African-American people were not, our people were not brought here over 400 years ago and put in servitude of the worst of slavery for nothing. There's a purpose for everything that happens. There's a purpose for and I'm going to get right to that answer, but this is not important. There's a purpose for Donald Trump being in office at this time. There was a purpose for allowing an ex-slave to become the leader of the modern world, President Obama. Brother, I accepted the teachings under the leadership of Imam Waliq Uddin Muhammad in 1976. When his father passed, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1975, and I say he was honorable. Nobody, you can't argue with me on what I say. He was honorable to me and Imam, the Honorable Imam Waliq Uddin Muhammad. I accepted Islam, and what you said, we had a committee called the removal of all racial images called CREG. The committee to remove all racial images that attempt to portray Jesus as a divine, Jesus or anybody or anything as a divine image, as a God, because we was teaching, following a good, the best leadership of Muslims, a leader in the world, under Imam Waliq Uddin Muhammad, and he did leave that blueprint, excuse me, and the Muslims, I observed them over the 45-year period since the Imam has been gone. From the first day he accepted leadership in 1975 when his father passed away. And the Muslims were not following him then. All these ma'ams around the country, I travel all around the country, all these ma'ams, the majority of them, and they worse, much worse today, they would still only talk about him in their coupe bars or lectures to their masjids or wherever they was the imam at in whatever city in this country. They would use his name only to get fame or draw attention to themselves, like the sister said. The main problem with African-American people is identity. Slavery took the identity away from African-American people, and African Prophet Muhammad said, this is important, too. He said, when you imitate a people, you become like them. So, and Prophet Muhammad said, there will come a time after I leave this world, that the Muslims will go astray and they would be killed and destroyed by the enemies of Islam simply because they would be divided among themselves. So the Muslims were divided, brother. When Imam Waqti Muhammad was here, 10 or 12 or whatever years he passed on to the next life, they were divided then. They was in Tassel, even in the Nation of Islam. It wasn't but a few people who were really following the discipline, the moral discipline that Elijah Muhammad was teaching. And he did, and Elijah Muhammad was a moral man. I don't care what nobody say. And what he was doing, nobody is to judge him but Allah. Allah said, don't nobody judge nobody. So I'm going to judge you. He said, who did I make a judge on the earth? Nobody. So, you know, the Muslims, you're right, that's not just in Atlanta. All around this country, I've been traveling lately over the last 10, 11, 12 years, and the one say follow Imam D. Muhammad, the Imam, most of them, the majority of them, I would say 99 out of 100, they are following their own agenda. They are not following the blueprint, like you said, that will help free us. And not only free us, the African Americans, from this servitude, this mental slavery and spiritual and moral slavery, but that would help bring about moral consciousness in America, because I be out all the time doing dawah, and like you say, I'm accepted more now by Christians and Jews and other people in religion than ever before because of the work of Elijah Muhammad and Imam Waqti Muhammad. And if we ain't going to be successful as Muslims until we follow his blueprint politically, socially, or economically. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum as-salam. Y'all listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shaheed Shabazz, the reality of the Creator, who comes from every Sunday, 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we are having a strong discussion here that I am so excited about. This brother's bring us really some good information for us to present and to think about. The Muslims, brother, I was just listening to you about presenting the Imam Waqti Muhammad's, I guess, agenda, why they're not. If you can't get in through the front door, we have to realize you have to try to come in through the back. That means use a different tactic, a different way of presenting it. Come in the way they want you to present what you want to present. And that can be done. But the Muslims nowadays, if they appear to have a fear, they have a fear of displeasing this white man. So if they think it's not going to please him, they are afraid to speak out and say what they have to say. They are trying to appease him, and this is not what we should be about at all. Like they said in the end that Satan would get most of the time. We have to realize this is a war between good and evil, right and wrong, and this is the time, the end of times, everyone thinks that we're living in. And this war is in its last stage now. So we can see it being manifest, what's being taught to us, right? And that the Muslims, they're coming with what can happen. So they're being drawn in by Shaitan, and they have a fear of displeasing the society that which they are part of instead of doing the work that they're supposed to be doing and reaching the people for Allah, for Islam, so that we can remake this world to be the world that Allah has chosen it to be and do the work that we are chosen by Allah to do. this is what the problem is to me, brother. This is my personal viewpoint of it. And now I will have the brother to speak again on this issue. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is the brother still with us from Atlantis? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have him on the air. I didn't realize that particular one. Let me see if I can get him back on again.
I heard him.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yeah, but
Brother,
yes. Okay.
Yes, I am.
Go ahead on, brother.
I identify with you all as it relates to being in a certain age group, because I was a Muslim during the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and I remember going out fishing for the lost found sheep. During those times, people had blind obedience to...
They sure did.
But the fruits that were supposed to have come from those FOI never materialized into an ongoing, progressive pathway to implementing Islam in our hearts and minds.
That's right.
We haven't been able to pass that legacy on to our next generation and the following generation.
That's right.
I'm not sure why, except that we live in a society where people see and don't see.
This is true.
I mean, my children, I moved to Atlanta in 2011 after evacuating from Damascus, Syria, where they were going to kill us over there.
Yes.
If we didn't leave. And I came here, I had lived in Syria for about 14 years, and I didn't come to America until I was there maybe 12 years, and then I came back to America for a short visit because my mother was sick, and I came to see her and bring her grandchildren. And I didn't get a chance to really meet and associate with a lot of the Muslims that I had known before I left. But then in 2011, a war broke out over there, a civil war, and the government started killing the people. And it's been going on now since early 2011, maybe around May or June of 2011, until now, the government in Syria is still killing its own people.
That's right. This is true.
And there are millions of Muslims who have left that country. Many of them have come here. I married a woman from over there. Her family, she came from a large family. Some of them are in Germany. Some of them are in Sweden. Some of them are in Turkey. They're all dispersed throughout the world trying to escape being murdered by their own government.
Yes, sir.
And I came back here, and there's a large Syrian population of people here in Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
And they have become citizens. And I have tried to talk to them about what that citizenship means as it relates to their family members, loved ones, and friends back in Damascus or other parts of Syria that they came from.
Right.
And all they're interested in is their own self.
Correct. I agree.
I've talked to many of the brothers and sisters who have not left America and who live here, and they're not interested in what happened to their brothers across the sea that they don't know anything about.
That's exactly
what they
right.
read in the newspaper. And Ummah, that's, people don't seem to understand what an Ummah is.
They don't.
Ummah is a body. And if one part of that body is hurting, then the whole rest of the body is supposed to respond to that hurt part and help
that's right.
you bring it back to its full participation.
Capacity. That's right.
And we're not doing that.
This is correct.
And as long as we don't care about each other, we call each other brother or sister.
That's right.
But as long as we don't treat each other like that, then it's just a word that we say that's like, how you doing?
That's right.
It means, has no deeper meaning.
This is true, brother. This is true.
And this is the fastest growing ummah that man has ever known.
That's right.
I mean, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he controlled half of the known world. We have the capacity in these days and times with the internet and all of these internet channels to get our message out to the entire world. Yet, we're not doing it.
That's right.
I understand that we were told.
We have 2 minutes left.
Okay, brother, we only have 2 minutes left. It's been so good when you're doing good, time flies. Allah just speak it on by Allah so he can put us to sleep and change our situation. And there's a section in the Quran where he put these people, two men that are asleep. He put them to death for 100 years, and he then brought them back, and their food and everything was still intact. So that's the power of Allah. So we got to get ready to bring this to a close, a conclusion. But you have been a wonderful guest, and I want to say in concluding this program, beautiful program today, to what you were saying, if it goes also, if you don't respect yourself, you're not going to get respect from anybody else. And the Muslim, the law says in the Quran to the Muslim world, do you enjoin right conduct out of my book, the Quran, to the rest of the people in the world? Christian, Jews, and others, and you study my word and you don't forget to practice my word yourself, do you not understand? So most Muslims don't have understanding. As the co-host always saying that most Muslims are not reading the Quran, because reading is not just reading words, but when you read so you can understand, so you can demonstrate in your life. You don't just read the quote words to sound pretty and to get people's attention. So I guess we'll close with prayer now, but thank you, brother, for coming on. And I want to give you my personal number, brother, so that you can keep in touch with me, because I plan to come to Atlanta. That's one of the places, that's the place I plan to eventually migrate to, and you maybe can help me get around and everything. Now, can I give you my number and you keep in contact with me?
Yes. Let me get a pen that writes.
And then we'll close in prayer, sister, if we got time.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, my number, area code is 336-497-8734. Again, 336-497-8734. So please keep in contact with me, because inshallah, if it be the will of Allah, I do plan to come to Atlanta. I've worked in that area a lot over the years, and I'm familiar with Well, all around the country, really, what we're saying is the same thing is going on. So we're closed as we open with the Al-Fatiha. And the Al-Fatiha is the opening surah, a chapter in the Quran. And opening means Allah beginning his creation. So we close with, he going to close the same way he opened his creation good. He said he going to close it the same way with his moral justice and moral goodness. So with that said, we'll say Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim, Sirata Ladheena An'amta Alayhim, Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim, Wadh-Dhalleen. Ameen. We said people with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise is due to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds and all systems of knowledge, most gracious, the most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thine alone do we seek for aid and help, because you're the only one can help us. Show us, the believers, the straight way that leads to you, the way of those whom you have bestowed your favor and your grace and mercy, especially not those who go astray from your straight way and follow the disbelievers. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Wa alaikum assalam. We want to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Same time next Sunday, join us again. We'd love to have you, and we thank Allah for all who came and who participated in our discussion today. Assalamu alaikum.